Before you get started with this episode, let me ask you, did you ever want to start your own podcast? Didn't know where to go to? Well, I use Buzzsprout, and Buzzsprout is real easy to use. It's real user-friendly, and the Buzzsprout team is passionate about helping you succeed. So if you want to start your own podcast and get your word out there, join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get your message out to the world. They'll send your podcast to every major podcast platform out there. So after you listen to this episode, follow the link in the show notes to let Buzzsprout know that we sent you. They'll get you a $20 Amazon gift card if you sign up for a paid plan. I'm Joe Green, and let's start this episode. Listen. You smell that? It smells like it's time to do a comic book versus movie episode. Let's start the music. Hey, what's up, people? Joe Green here. Let's do another episode of On My Box, the podcast where I get on my soapbox and I talk about things that are near and dear to my heart. And those things that are near and dear to my heart are comic books and comic book movies and comic book TV shows and all that good stuff. So this episode is the first of what I call comic book versus movie series, where I will compare the comic book movie to the actual source material, the actual comic book. So if you listen to previous episodes of the podcast, you know that I am very passionate about the source material being adapted correctly into a movie. Hence, if you follow me on Instagram, j.w.green, I put up this hashtag, stick to the source material, where I post scenes from the comic book that has already been adapted into different movies and stuff. So this episode, we're going to talk about Marvel Civil War. And before I get into it, of course, I want to thank people that have supported this podcast. My boy Bobby Warden there for Two Veterans Online. Check out his stuff. Austin Green, agreen.designs. The young aspiring graphic artist that I always plug, who has done the logo for this and Hero Talk. Also, check out Oasis Spices there on the Facebook page, JW Green. And then also Correct Handed Productions, David Whalen. Check out his comic book, The Offspring. There's a link on the Facebook page. And I want to thank people that have supported this podcast. Justin Brody, Sleazy Cigarette Burns, and The Real Are Known. Let's go to the real material here. Civil War. If you listen to an old episode of Hero Talk, you know that when we made that episode, that I thought that Civil War was the best Marvel movie at that time. And that was after Infinity War. And I will stick to my guns, saying that Civil War is a better movie than Infinity War. And I can tell you, in a future podcast, I will compare the Infinity War movie to the Infinity Gauntlet comic book, and then maybe we'll compare the two, because I did get a message from a good friend of mine talk about how he liked Infinity War better than Endgame, so it gave me the idea to go back and to watch Infinity War and compare it to the comic book. Actually, it started this whole idea for me comparing the comic book to the movie, but I won't talk about that right now. Right now, we're just focused on Civil War. I've watched Civil War the movie a billion times, and we'll talk about it. But what I did is actually go back and read the comic book, The Civil War, the 7-issue series. I like to buy graphic novels. I don't buy the comic books anymore. That's a nasty habit that I can't afford, honestly. If you want to sponsor the show so I can afford my comic books, please feel free to hit me up. I'm willing to take sponsors. I'm just don't send me no crazy stuff, man. But I will sponsor most anything. So what I did is I went back and I own the graphic novel, The Civil War, and I went back and read it. So I know most people don't read the book when it's based on a movie. Like I did read the Harry Potter books, like Hunger Games. Like, come on, how many people have actually read the Hunger Games books? I don't know. I don't read books. The only book based off a movie I think I read was The Godfather. And that's a great book, much better than the movie. And the movie is epic. It's one of the best movies of all time. But I'm not talking about The Godfather. I'm talking about comic book movie. I'm talking about Civil War. So I went back and I read Civil War. All right, so for all you comic book fans that say you read comic books and you ever read Civil War, you're cheating yourself, you're cheating the system, and I'll debate the fact that you're a comic book fan if you've never read Civil War. So for those people that haven't read Civil War, they just know the movie, so I'll give you a little, I'll go over the actual comic, what happened in the comic book, because there are many differences in the comic book than in the movie that were key to the Marvel Universe. All right, so Civil War came out 2006, 2007, It was written by Mark Miller. It ran 7 issues. All right. So in the first issue, the New Warriors, and if you don't know New Warriors, there was a young team of superheroes that made their first appearance in Thor 411, which I had. Great issue of Thor. That's where Thor fought the Juggernaut, and then the New Warriors came. And then in 412, they helped Thor fight the Juggernaut. They couldn't beat the Juggernaut because it's the fucking Juggernaut. So the New Warriors are doing this reality TV show type thing, and they caused the Stanford incident where they go after some criminals that is way above their pay grade, and it causes a gigantic explosion which destroys the school. So, of course, hundreds of civilian children are dead. A couple of New Warriors die. And that's what they call, in the comic books, the Stanford incident, which is similar to the Civil War movie, the Lagos incident, where Scarlet Witch defected the explosion and blew up that building, killing the Wakandan humanitarians. In a comic book, that Stanford incident sparked the superhero registration in the United States. In the movie, that Lagos incident caused the United Nations to come up with the Sokovia Accord. So that's the similarity in the two. All right, so we can't have the same exact things, you know, again, because the movie is adapted to follow its cinematic universe, and the comic books was going on, what's going on in comic books. So what happens in the comic books with the Stanford, it splits the heroes, man. Like, one, you can see, like the Fantastic Four, like, oh, those are low-grade heroes, man. You know, they're not caliber, you know, heroes like us. They shouldn't have been doing that. So you see, like, the discrimination between heroes. Like, we're better heroes than you because we've been doing this long, and those guys are amateurs. And that's what Tony comes up with the idea of, well, let's train these guys, man. Let's, you know, make every, you know, the Avenger Initiative, and he called it. But guys like Falcon, like, look, man, like, Hero's been doing this for a while, man. We're wearing a mask, man. And that's tradition. And it caused the whole split. It's like they say, the U.S. government wants to ban all heroes. Because in the Marvel Universe at this time, the people are not really satisfied with the heroes, you know. It's like, Marvel's always lived in a world where the heroes kind of do more damage than good. You know, it's a little bit more realistic, because let's be real. Like, you park your car downtown, and then, you know, you have a superhero event, and then your car gets trashed. Like, is your insurance going to pay for that shit? Like, no, because the insurance company's going to say, you didn't have superhero insurance, so you're fucked. So that's kind of what the Marvel Universe is like. So the people, in the citizens in the Marvel Universe are not really happy with the heroes, and the government is tired of this shit, so they want to ban all heroes. Now, Tony comes up with the compromise for the superhero registration, because the incident affects him almost in the same way that it happened in the movie. So in the comic book, at the memorial service for the students that died at the Stanford incident, one of the mothers comes up to him and, like, you killed them. It's almost kind of the way, like, Alfred Woodard approached Tony Stark in the movie at the elevator. Talk about her son who died in Sokovia. So that drives Stark's conscience to make changes, and he goes back and he comes up with all these ideas, and one of the ideas is the superhero registration as a compromise so that the government won't ban all heroes. Now, once it gets word out that the government's gonna register superheroes, that causes Cap to, like, fight against that shit, just like in the movie, because he doesn't believe that politics should be in making decisions for superheroes. Who determines who's the villain, who's the hero? So, like, he's having a conversation with Maria Hill, who in the comic book is a real bitch. Like, nothing like you know, Robin Schabowski's character in the movies, but real bitchy. And she really does, like, she really comes off like she hates everybody. So she's having this conversation with Cap, and Cap's like, you know, politics needs to stay out of this, because once, you know, Washington starts telling us who the supervillains are. And then Hill responds, yeah, Cap, I thought supervillains are the guys wearing masks who refuse to obey the law. And that causes Captain America, like, you know what, all right, fuck you guys, man. And the comic book is pretty cool, because at that scene, he's in a helicopter, and he kind of does the whole S.H.I.E.L.D. elevator fight from Winter Soldier, man. Like, he fights, you know, they're going to tranquilize him and put him down, and he fights back, and he jumps out the fucking helicarrier, you know, busting S.H.I.E.L.D., and flies out without a parachute. He actually lands on one of the S.H.I.E.L.D. jets and fucking, like, surfs it down, you know, it was pretty neat in the comic book. So I guess they kind of referenced that scene from the comic book in Winter Soldier, I'm going to assume. Because the Russos kind of do their homework. I like what the Russos did. So yeah, so Cap escapes, like I said, Winter Soldier style. And then Tony, Reed Richards, and Hank Pym, who's dressed up in his yellow jacket outfit, because Hank Pym has been all types of superheroes, assure the president to push for registration and that they'll take care of Cap. Now, some of the major changes in the comic book that you don't get in the movie is some of the major players. Hank Pym and Reed Richards, who, of course, is not part of the cinematic universe because at that time, Fox owned the rights to Fantastic Four. So that's one of the major differences, that the element of the Fantastic Four in that comic book, because Reed plays a major role. I mean, the whole Fantastic Four plays a major role in that comic book, which is taken out of the movie, which is really a Captain America-based story. And it's really about Cap and Bucky and the Sokovia Accords, when the comic book is really about the superhero registration. Issue 2, Cap becomes, you know, the symbol for resistance, and Tony is the symbol for the law, and that split down the line. So then Tony and his Avengers start hunting down unregistered superheroes like they're criminals, and Cap is going to save, you know, break these heroes out of jail. You know, he starts his underground resistance. So Tony has his Avengers, and Cap has his underground Avengers. And that issue ends with the gigantic reveal where Tony convinces Spider-Man to unmask himself and register for the superhero registration as a symbol of the program. And that was like one of the biggest moments in Marvel Comics history. Peter Parker revealing himself to the world. Now, if you heard my other podcast, we talk about when Spider-Man had to get in his black suit and he beat up the Kingpin. I think that was in the Keep Spidey in the MCU rant that I did. But this was the beginning of that, when Spider-Man unmasked himself. It's pretty funny because J. Jonah Jameson like falls out of his chair when he finally gets Spider-Man. When he finally learns the identity of Spider-Man. But that story continued in Spider-Man comic books, which I didn't read. I just read the base Civil War comics. So in issue 3, Tony tried to recruit like the X-Men. They stay out. It's like, yo, man, like, fuck you guys, because you guys don't care about mutants. And at that time, it was already after House of M, so the mutant population had already been decimated by 90%. They call them the 198, which was 198 mutants that were left after the Scarlet Witch basically snapped mutants away from the Marvel Universe. And if we know in real life, that was Marvel's way of countering Fox's control of X-Men, saying, well, fuck you, we're just not going to give you new X-Men, and we're just going to write X-Men out of Marvel Comics, so until we get that shit back. Surprisingly, Marvel has X-Men back, and now the X-Men are telling good stories in the comic books. Who would have thought? But yeah, so issue 3, we have the first big battle between the two superhero teams. And that issue ends with the appearance of Thor. And if you read Thor comic books like I did, at that time, Thor was dead. That was Thor Volume 2, 85. He just finished the Ragnarok, and he had completed the cycle, and he was dead. So when he appeared, you're like, who the fuck is this? Well, actually, it was a clone created by Tony and Reed. Again, Reed Richards is another major player in this story. And Thor comes and changes the turn of the battle, and that Thor clone kills Bill Foster, who is Goliath. Now, I didn't know who the fuck Bill Foster was until Civil War. He's Black Goliath, you know. Bill Foster is the character that Larry Fishburne played in the Ant-Man and Wasp movie. Funny that he plays a character that died, that's already been dead. So I don't know if Bill Foster is alive in the comic book. I don't know if they brought him back to life, but he dies in the comic book. And his death by the Thor clone fucks up everybody in the head, man. Like Susan, she betrays her team and helps Cap escape. Because both members on both sides just reevaluate like what the fuck they're fighting for. Like Spider-Man, he's like, yo, I wasn't down with this shit. And, you know, I can't do this. So that causes Spider-Man to defect to Cap's team. And then Cassie Lang, who's a young Avenger, you know, Scott's daughter. Yes, she is an Avenger. She actually says, I can't do this. You know, I just want to be a hero. So I'm going to do what the law says. And she registers. So she goes to Iron Man's team. The death of Bill Foster causes everybody to reevaluate. The big reveal in that issue is that Iron Man realized that, you know, he needs something to counter Cap. So he recruits the Thunderbolts. And if you read comic books, you know that the Thunderbolts is Marvel's version of the Suicide Squad. It's all the evil villains and, you know, on a team, that the reformed villains. Sidebar, Thunderbolts, number one, probably like one of the greatest issues ever, like reveals ever, because they were a superhero team at a time where I believe it was the heroes. It was after that Onslaught incident where all the heroes left and they came out as a new superhero team. And the last couple panels, you realize that they were all supervillains led by Baron Zemo and Masters Evils in disguise. And it was a great, great ending. But then they made the Thunderbolts like the Suicide Squad without the bombs in their fucking heads. So with the Thunderbolts joining the fray, then, like, you know, now the Civil War is really a war, man. So Iron Man is using villains. You know, it just gets ugly, man. Like, Spider-Man is hunted down by these villains that are run by S.H.I.E.L.D., almost like the same way Waller used the Suicide Squad. And he's getting beat, man. And he ends up being saved by the Punisher. You know, and then the Punisher joins Cap's team, and no one fucking likes the Punisher because the Punisher is a fucking murderer, man. Like, he's a crazy murderer in the Marvel Universe. So, but Cap ends up using the Punisher, so he get info on Tony Stark's super jail wall with Tony sending these villains, you know. So it's even like, you know, Tony's using villains, you know, he's compromising his morality, Cap's compromised his morality by using a Punisher and shit. So it just, now it gets all blurry, man. So, because now, they're like, what are they fighting for? They were trying to recruit Namor, they tried to, you know, like, Tony was, you know, like, everybody tried to get involved, man, like, just to pull people on their team. Kind of like the way, like, Voldemort did in Harry Potter. You know, like, Voldemort and Dumbledore were trying to get people to join their side. So, in issue 6, that kind of sets up the big super battle, man. The Punisher, he gets the information on Tony Stark's Supermax prison where he sends the heroes, and you find out that he's sending them into the negative zone because him and Reed Richards made this fucking this prison. Remember that shitty Fantastic Four movie? If you're one of the 10 people that watched, like myself, the negative zone is another universe, another dimension and stuff. So Caps wants to free all the prisoners and shit, and then you got the big final battle in issue 7 where they're all in the jail, and then you learn, like, you know, Cap had a spy, and Tony had a spy on his team. Like I said, it just got really ugly. And then, like, before they get trapped in the prison from Cloak and Dagger, he transports everybody to downtown Manhattan, and then you have this big-ass battle, and you have that iconic scene where Cap and Iron Man are fighting with the shield, you know? And like the scene that the Russos actually used in the Captain America Iron Man battle in the end of Civil War. So in the comic book, you know, like, Cap is beating the hell out of Iron Man because when they fought in issue 3, Iron Man beat the shit out of Cap. Similar to the way that Iron Man fought him in the movie, because he analyzed Captain America's, like, fighting style and he programmed it to whoop his ass. So that part of the movie was actually taken from the comic book. But then, like I said, like, the two fights they had were actually incorporated into the movie, which is pretty cool, which is why that Civil War movie is that dope, because they take actual scenes from the comic book. And then when Cap's beating Iron Man, all the EMT people and fire and first responders will come, and they start attacking Cap. And like, what the fuck is going on? So, you know, and then Cap realized that, like, Tony's supported registration, it gave the people hope in the heroes again. And that's all the people wanted, man. You know, they wanted to feel safe, and they weren't feeling safe, and registration made them feel safe to know that the government and that these people with superpowers are being trained and controlled. That's when Cap realized that, yo, fuck, I fucked up. Because it's really not about me, it's really about what the people want. In the end, he unmasks himself, surrenders, yeah, to the police, and stops fighting. Like, when he surrenders, he tells Falcon, we're not fighting for the people, we're just fighting. And like I said, Civil War, it got ugly, man. Like, that comic got real ugly. Like, at one point, Sue left Reed. Spider-Man, you know, and Tony, they got into a fight when Spider-Man left because, you know, it was like, you know, they call it the father-son battle, you know, because Spider-Man wasn't feeling what Tony was doing. He, you know, he lost faith in Tony's vision and stuff like that. Like, it really, really affected a lot of the heroes, man. Like I said, like, a Fantastic Four got split. Sue and Johnny left. They joined Team Cap. She recruited Namor to come fight. At the time, Black Panther was about to marry Storm, and the X-Men, they kind of stayed out of it because, you know, they've always been persecuted, and like, they were on their, like, Xavier camp, and they have, like, the government's watching with Sentinels and shit. So what the movie really doesn't do is show the impact of the lines drawn. Like, in the comic book, it was really deep, man. It really, you really saw, like, man, like, this really fucked people up. Like, all throughout the comic book, Tony is like, I don't think I'm doing this right. I'm not feeling this. And every time, like, the mother of the kid that died, she would always pop up and tell him, like, no, keep on the course. Again, which is why that scene with Alfre Woodard in the elevator with Tony was why that was so important to that movie, because it was the spark that got Tony to fight for the registration. And in the comic book, you know, every time he was faltering, that character appeared to, like, let him know, like, hey, no, you're doing the right thing. Like, at one point, man, Tony almost hit the bottle again, because in one of the side stories that happened outside the comic book, like, Happy got injured once Tony revealed himself and the villains went after Tony, man, and the people he loved, and Happy was one of them, and Happy was like in a coma and stuff like that. So it affected him too, man, which you don't really see in a comic book, or you say in the movie. Well, in the movie, I guess you do, because they used Bucky's murder to fuck with him. In the comic book, Bucky has no part of it. I could tell you, I was reading Captain America comics at the time. Bucky at that time was watching the incident happen, you know, contemplating where he stands in this stuff. He kind of stayed out of it. But because of the cinematic universe and the Russos taking over the Captain America movie, like I said, like Civil War was act two of their grand plan of the Captain America story. So they incorporated the Winter Soldier movie into their movie to cause the Civil War, which worked. I'm not gonna lie, it worked. But in the comic book, it wasn't like that. So the aftermath in the comic book was really important because Tony becomes the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. And that's pretty funny because at the last panels and stuff, he's talking to that mother, and you know, now he's Maria Hill's boss, and he tells her he'll give him some coffee just to show, you know, what kind of dick he is. So in the end, I guess Maria Hill does work for Tony Stark, you know, just like in the movies. They created the 50-state initiative where there's a superhero team in each state. Some heroes were sent to Canada, you know, they kind of, some heroes defected to Canada. Spider-Man goes underground wearing his black suit. Luke Cage leads the underground resistance, like the so-called New Avengers. In the end, Sue did come home and they reconciled. But the major event that happened after the Civil War was not just Cap going to jail, but Captain America 25. Cap killed, going to the courthouse, and Steve Rogers dying. The death of Captain America. I've said it before, that shit is like one of the best fucking stories ever written by Ed Brubaker. And that's when Bucky becomes Captain America. And if you read that comic book, you would know that it's Tony who gives Bucky the shield, which is complete opposite of the fucking movie, because Bucky is the guy that killed his parents and causes the Civil War in the movies. Now, when you hear what happened in the comic book, you realize that it is totally different than the movie. Because, like I said, the movie is part of the cinematic universe. It's a sequel to The Winter Soldier, where Cap finds out that his best friend, you know, is alive, and then he finds out his best friend killed the parents of his current new best friend, and that causes the friendship break, which causes the split between the Avengers. And with the Sokovia Accords, which incorporates Avengers Age of Ultron, a horrible movie. The way the cinematic universe uses the Civil War to split the Avengers is acceptable in my mind compared to the comic book, which really wasn't a split in Avengers. It just changed the way the Marvel Universe was. The purpose of the Civil War movie is to split the Avengers for the upcoming threat of Thanos coming. And basically, with the Avengers being split, that's why they couldn't defeat Thanos. And then in Endgame, when they finally unite, they beat Thanos. So the Russos needed a way to have Thanos win, and that their reasoning was because the Avengers were not united. So, like they say, the Civil War movie, when it came out, I thought it was the best Marvel movie. It was, and until Endgame, I still thought it was the best Marvel movie. The battle at Germany with the two teams, with Team Cap versus Team Iron Man, it was, prior to Endgame, the best superhero fight ever, man. I don't care what the fuck you say. Infinity War had some good fights, but that confrontation between the two, man, was fucking epic, man. And then that introduced Spider-Man, you know, like Spider-Man in that battle fucking made it. That's the first time that Scott Lang went fucking giant, man. That shit was fucking epic, you know. And I say, you're taking these fucking low tier guys, man, and you're putting them on, you know, making them big time players. And that's what the Civil War movie did. And honestly, the third act fight between Tony, Cap, and Buck, that shit is very emotional, man. Like I said, the three acts that of Civil War really makes that movie. I can't say it's a good adaptation to comic book because, again, like the major elements of Reed and Hank Pym and the X-Men is all left out. Like the X-Men don't really play a major part, but the Fantastic Four does, because like that's Reed and Tony doing their thing together. The cinematic universe did what it could with the players it had, and as you see, man, it made a fucking epic movie, man. The Lagos incident, with the Wakandan refugees getting killed, that brings in Black Panther. And we know Black Panther is a great fucking character in the movies. Spawned a great fucking movie, Black Panther. In the comic books, Black Panther really wasn't a big player, but he did side with Cap. So I guess in the end, when he gives refuge to Cap and Bucky, you know, that kind of plays into the comic book, because he was on Team Cap. Because again, like Storm was about to be his wife, so who knows if they'll bring in Storm and make her his wife, you know. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Lupita will be the new Storm, since that's his girlfriend in the Black Panther comic books. Hey, Bill, talk to Lupita about that. Make sure she gets changed to be new Storm. I don't know. So, in that aspect, it brought in Black Panther. All the characters in the Civil War movie played a vital role, man. And that's what I like about the Russos. Like, I watched Civil War and realized that the Russos can make an Avengers movie with everybody in the Marvel Universe because they know how to take care of all the characters. So I guess Civil War was a platform for that. And of course, you see, Infinity War. I won't talk too much about Infinity War. I'll talk about that in the next episode, you know, when I do Infinity War versus the Infinity Gauntlet, the comparisons of so. But yes, the way the Russos incorporated all the characters from the other Marvel movies was fantastic. But in Civil War, the story that they had adapted from the comic books, they took just the basic core elements of it and twisted it to fit into their cinematic universe. And that's what I fucking love, man. Is it a good adaptation? Yes, because they took the core of the comic book story and incorporated it into the core of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it fucking worked. That's all I asked for, and stick to the source material. Could they do exactly everything for the comic book? Fuck no, because they say you gotta leave out the Fantastic Four. You gotta leave out Wolverine and the X-Men. And then, like, most of the Avengers, you know, like, you don't even have, because, you know, you have the B-team in the movies, which is now the fucking A-team. If you've never read the Civil War comic book, and you enjoy the Civil War movie, go back and read the comic book. If you're not a big Marvel Comics player, you don't know the players in it, well, they also got the Civil War Companion, which I also have, and it tells a little side story of everybody. It's kind of like the Index of the Marvel Universe, man. I used to love that fucking shit, man. I get the bios of everybody. So it does that. And it tells you, like, all those side stories. That's how I found out that Happy got put in a coma. There's stuff that happened after with Peter. Because everybody, of course, you know, because it was a Marvel Universe event, so it affected everybody's comics. At that time, I was just reading Captain America. Well, in fact, actually, I started reading Captain America first, and then I went back and read Civil War. Then I went back and read Winter Soldier and realized that, oh, shit, man, I was missing out on some fucking good shit. Civil War was not written by Brubaker, but, again, still a good story. Very deep, very impactful. As a bonus, there is Civil War 2, which takes place after the Secret Wars. So if you don't know what I'm fucking talking about, the Secret Wars, where Marvel combined all its universes, kind of like the Crisis on Infinite Earths that DC did way in the early 80s, late 70s. So they combined all the universes to one. That's how they brought Miles Morales to the prime Marvel universe. But after that, they did Civil War 2, which I also read, and it's a great fucking story. The Civil War 2 deals with an Inhuman, because, hey, look at that. It's how the movies and TV shows affect the comic books, because the X-Men were not players in comic books. They make the Inhumans the players because, hey, because of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and that fucking horrific Inhuman show, you know, they make the Inhumans players. So the Terrigen comes, and it's the mist is coming around Earth and shit, and one kid gets infected by the Terrigen, and he has the ability to see the future. So Captain Marvel wants to use him to prevent events. Tony's like, you know, being a futurist. The futurist is here, you know, from Civil War movie. Tony's like, I don't think that's right because the future has many possibilities. So how do we know that his future is right? Because see, once we stop this event, then he's wrong because that future didn't happen. So that causes a rift. That causes the second Civil War. What's cool between in that comic book is that at the time, Carol Danvers is dating Rhodey. And that's Tony Stark's best friend. Now, Rhodey dies. Spoiler. Rhodey dies. And that fucks with both Tony and Carol in different ways. So when that Inhuman has the ability to stop events, it causes them to reflect on Rhodey's death and to do, you know, what they do. And again, like, Carol wants to prevent major events from happening by all means necessary. But Tony poses the question, like, you know, the future has possibilities, so he might not be right. And what happens when he predicts that one of us will cause an event? You know, Carol's like, doesn't matter. You know, the ends always justify the means. You know, and then, of course, what happens is the guy has a vision about the Hulk causing an event. So when they go to confront Bruce Banner, who's still in Banner mode, before he turns to the Hulk, Hawkeye fucking kills him. And then, so they have this big trial, you know, and that's the whole thing. Like, well, was he going to turn to the Hulk? You know, because the event never happened, but the Hulk died. You're using this Inhuman to stop events, but causing different events. You know, it's kind of like Minority Report, you know? And then, like, the big climactic fight at the end, you know, you have Miles Morales, you know, there's a vision of Miles Morales killing Captain America, That causes the big fight between Tony and Carol. And that comic ended with, like, I think Tony, like, he was seriously injured. And that's when Riri becomes new Iron Man. It's like Rhodey was actually offered the position of being Secretary of Defense before he died by the president. And then he offers that to Carol. Really good comic. And again, that has the same impact as the original Civil War comic, except that there's more death, man. I mean, the Hulk dies. She-Hulk, that affects She-Hulk because that's her cousin. She wants to kill Hawkeye, but he's going to trial. And of course, you know, She-Hulk being a lawyer, and when she was knocked down in the incident, Thanos makes an appearance in that comic. Really good comic, Civil War 2. I don't know if I'm going to say it's better than Civil War 1, because Civil War 1 is such a game changer in the Marvel Universe. And again, the Civil War comic, which is the baseline for the Civil War movie, which again is the game changer in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which causes the Infinity War to go in favor of Thanos. So again, my final recommendation, Civil War movie, a good adaptation of the Civil War comic. So you can hear the music. That means that's my time. I appreciate you for listening. I encourage you as comic book fans, man, if you've never read Civil War, go back and read the comic book. Obviously, the movie is epic. Don't need to talk much about that. So, I thank you again for listening. I'm Joe Green. On my box. I'm out.